Hello, ladies and germs, and welcome to the Pixelgate Podcast, episode numero uno. My name is Justin, and joining me for this delicious journey into video games is the man who paid the iron price for his beard, Sean.
I forgot about my beard.
Yeah. The man who devours pasta with a single gulp, Nick.
So?
And the man who wears the head of a Pikachu for a hat, it's Rich.
Hey.
Today we'll be delving into some funsies about Steam's latest announcements, some GTA 5 talk, and finish it off with some Pokemans, and possibly talk about other stuff we've been playing as well. So without further ado, let's get down to business. And yeah, so let's talk about Steam for a minute, or a few minutes. So Steam's had three announcements. I think they're only going to do three, which is surprising, because Valve doesn't exactly get to three too often, or at all. So let's talk about those announcements they had over the past couple days. So the first was Steam OS, the second was the Steam Machine, and today, or was it yesterday, it was today, that they revealed their new controller. So about the OS, what do you guys think about that?
I haven't got a clue what it is.
Uh-huh.
I've been away from games like the past two months.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I mean, personally, I don't see any use for it for my own needs. I think it's interesting that you're able to stream games to it or to your box from anywhere in your house, but at the same time, that's a little nerve-wracking. Just because if you don't have the right modem or something like that, I don't know how well that'll work.
Yeah, and then from my experience with game streaming, it still doesn't really work too well, because I tried using OnLive when that was a big thing and whatnot, and to me it just didn't feel like it was a good thing. But then again, that was a couple years ago that OnLive was out.
Yeah, and that's also through the cloud, which is different. I'm pretty, like, considering how short of a distance this is, and it's just going straight, it's not going through the internet, it's just going through your, I think it's like a relay point more so than it is streaming. So I think that's a little less of a worry for me. I just don't know how much I'm actually going to need something like that, considering, you know, I could just plug in my computer to my TV if I wanted to.
So for people who don't know, SteamOS is Valve's operating system kind of thing, from what I'm gathering, and it's, you know, I didn't really even read much into it, because it didn't really capture my eye, it didn't interest me too much, but from what I can tell, it's essentially just an operating system that is Valve's operating system, and...
It's just an announcement, so we still don't know that much about it, really.
Yeah.
We just, they gave a bunch of, you know, bold words that are supposed to keep the reader's attention and get them excited. But, you know, there's a lot still missing. Like, I don't know. I think it's interesting for them to do. And who knows? Valve has so much money at this point that they could just take over this industry and lead it in a certain direction that they want to.
Yep. I don't know if... what the whole thing is, because I know there's the Steam OS, but then there's separately, there's the Steam Box or Steam Machine, which is the console or whatever, and I think that's what the Steam OS is going off of. I'm just concerned how much that box is going to be, because I think only the box will support Steam OS. So if that is the case, how much is this box going to cost, and is the box worth the amount, like the hassle or whatnot, the streaming, is it worth it to get it just to play these games on your TV?
Trust
me, I'll be honest. I mean,
it
really doesn't. I'm not a huge PC gamer to begin with, so it's not like I have the disposable income to throw at another box. I mean, especially with the next gen pretty much here, it's not like I have another $400, $500, $600 to throw at another box to clutter my living room.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And then another thing is, like, their third announcement today was the controller itself. And, you know, they're definitely going to be paying these companies to take advantage of that new controller, but at the same time, with PC gaming just isn't that big, so I don't think a lot of these developers will be taking full advantage of what that thing could possibly do. Sure, it might be better than the controllers we have now, but considering the user base on both PS4 and Xbox One are going to still surpass the number of Linux PCs out there, you know, I don't think that they're going to take... I just think we'll see ports, like a controller layout port. Who would have thought that would have been a thing?
Speaking of the controller, I have to say it looks extremely, like, uncomfortable. It doesn't look like it'd be comfortable to hold.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing. I was looking at that thing, and it's, like, beveled in. It's like a valley. I don't see how that could be comfy.
I'm not gonna say it's shit, because I haven't, you know, used one.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna say it's gonna be like a life changing or an experience changing thing. It could honestly be the worst controller ever made, or it could be one of the best ever made. And you know, we don't know much about it right now, so I'm gonna play devil's advocate at this point. But from what I can tell, it just looks insanely uncomfortable and impractical. It doesn't, or unpractical. What's the term? Whatever. It just doesn't look practical.
It looks stupid as fuck. Think about it. Like, if you're going to have a snack or something, like, say, crisps, I don't know what, like, most people eat now, but, you know, you get stuff on your thumbs.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to use them pads, like, to scroll them down, so you get so much residue on there. It looks like me modem as well.
Yeah. But when I play games, though, I don't eat greasy foods, because I don't like getting controllers all greasy. It's like a thing that bugs me.
Yep.
And it really bugs me too when other people come over to play like my consoles. So.
Oh, dude, you're preaching to the choir right now.
Yeah. And it just bugs me because like, my controllers get so greasy when other people play them. Yeah. And this controller looks like it'll get dirty, like extremely easy. So,
yeah, as Luca said, with all the smoking.
Yeah. So I don't think I'd be comfortable even using one just because it would just look gross after a while.
1 year from now, we're all going to be eating crow because I bet this thing's going to be fucking amazing.
Yeah, well, probably. Yeah. But, and
you'll hate it but love it the same thing.
I'm confused who it's supposed to be for. Is it, like, for the console crowd that want a PC but don't want to try mouse and keyboard? Yeah, want this mutated pad, which is essentially a mouse and keyboard? I don't get it.
I think they're just trying to take steps into the direction that they want. They want PC gaming to reach the console gamers, and they want console gamers to be, I don't know, more comfortable on this. So by taking this kind of innovation, people know Valve. They know that the content they produce, they know how smart they are. I mean, and that's what the one thing they have going for them is that, like, I don't know how to make a controller. I go to school and everything. I consider myself fairly smart, but like these guys put tons and tons of research into this kind of stuff and spent countless amount of money finding the best way to do this. So I don't think they're gonna. They never put out shit. I don't think they ever have. Maybe like one of their games, but
I'd say first Left 4 Dead. I didn't really like it.
That's a preference. That's not an actual. That's like just an opinion. You can't argue that Steam hasn't developed into like one of the most the most influential PC gaming system out there.
Better than Origin.
Sucked when it first started, though.
Sure it did.
Huge balls. I remember when I was like 12. I didn't stand a thing it was going on about. All I wanted to do was play Counter-Strike with my friends, but no. You have to upload this, click that, do this, sign up this. You've lost your password. You have to wait 6 months to get reset. I was like,
it was bullshit. But
I'm playing Diablo 2 instead.
Speaking of all this though, a lot of people are thinking Steam OS might have exclusive games only for the Steam Box.
Oh, dude, Steam I OS. Was thinking the same thing. I'm waiting for Half-Life 3 to be announced as a Steam OS exclusive.
And
you exclusive.
But the thing is though, the funny thing is though, if they announced that Half-Life 3, Portal 3, Left 4 Dead 3 were Steam OS exclusives, that would sell the thing.
No doubt.
But here's the thing, and I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack for it in the comments or whatever from other people. But I could honestly care less. I can't whatever.
You couldn't care less.
I couldn't care less about Half-Life 3 at this point.
I could. I wanna see what the fuck is in that game.
Like,
I care more about Half-Life 3 than I do for my family.
I just I'd obviously play the game because I like Half-Life a lot, and you know, like I think any gamer, well, specifically being PC gamers, everyone's gonna play Half-Life 3 when it comes out. Everybody will. It's just a thing.
How will you play it though if it's on SteamOS?
I'll buy a Steam box.
Exactly.
But or I'll just wait till they eventually port it. But the thing is, they probably would just port it over to Steam and PC because the more of the user base is on there, would probably.
You would think that, but they have so much money that it doesn't matter. If they gain so much money by keeping it exclusive to SteamOS by the purchases of a Steam box and their system, they've got you by the hook, dude. You're done. Everybody is. You can't deny them.
I just don't think, at this point, considering how much time has passed between Half-Life 2 and Half-Life 3. I just don't think the game will live up to its hype.
Oh, that's a given.
Half-Life 3 already came out. It's called Resistance 3. Hey, but no one had played Resistance 3, so...
Dude, I did. That game is great.
That game is beast! It's one of the best first-person shooters of generation, and no one played. Everyone go play it.
It's so good. I played that entire game in 3D on this little PS Sony TV. It was amazing. It was one of the best 3D experiences I've ever had.
I won't.
Let's call this podcast Go and Play Resistance 3.
Calm down, let's go.
Go and play Resistance 3. Speaking of Resistance 3, and whatever you guys talk about Last of Us, I think once this next gen hits, I'm going to be getting a PS3. Mainly to play Last of Us, because I haven't played it, and to play Resistance 3 from your whatnot.
Oh, dude, there's plenty of Sony exclusives to get it
and
jump on.
And to play the two Infamous games.
Yep.
And to play Journey.
Killzone 3.
I don't care about Killzone.
Killzone 3 is great.
And to play Journey. That's the main thing. And then I need a Blu-ray player anyway, so.
It's Charted as well.
I'll definitely be picking one up once the price drops.
Man, you're missing out on a great library.
I didn't like.
Rich, you don't have one either?
I played Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2, and I didn't like them.
I'm leaving.
Uncharted 1, I can understand. Uncharted 2, that was a great game.
And then someone told me Uncharted 3 was kind of meh, so to avoid it.
Uncharted 3 was a different direction.
But
that was pretty good.
I think that pretty much covers what's going on with Valve right now.
Yeah. Back on track.
So, we can talk about a little bit of GTA, because we've all been playing it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, for people who don't know, that are listening, which, you know, could happen, Grand Theft Auto 5 is not the fifth iteration.
It's the 55th.
It's like the 10th.
Shit, son. I don't think it's the 10th. I think they're in the 20s now, if you count everyone.
Because there was Grand Theft Auto 1, and there was the one in London.
Grand Theft Auto 2.
Yeah.
And you got Chinatown Wars, you got Vice City Stories,
San Andreas,
I think Liberty City Stories,
yep.
San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto 3, and then Grand Theft Auto 4, and then the expansions of that.
Yep, Battle of Gay Tony, which was awesome.
Yeah, those were some good expansions.
Lost of Damned, and then there was GTA 5, which came out 10 days ago, on the 17th.
Yep.
I went to the Did anybody else go to the midnight release? I went to the midnight release.
I did not.
I was like a funny story, because as some of you know, I'm like sort of super healthy eating now. Mm-hmm. So it was like midnight, and I was like, I've got no rice left, so I need to get some brown rice. I went up to the local supermarket, this is Asda, and there's like a huge line outside a game shop opposite Asda, like outside the door. And I was like, oh, line for Grand Theft Auto. It was full of kids, like 10-year-olds trying to cop. So I walked in Asda, picked up the game, didn't have to line up, bought me rice, went home, they're all still lining up. I don't understand it.
My midnight release was interesting. I got there and I was like the first 10 people in line, and I went there at like 9 p.m. I got there at 9 p.m. and I was in the first like 10 people, which was surprising because I live in a city now, and it's kind of like a big suburban, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's a big like area, and there's a lot of people in this area, and it just surprised me that for a midnight release of a game that's been this like hyped. I expected more people to show up before 9 p.m. But so I was in the first ten in line, and then it hit about 10:30, at night, and it's I was getting antsy. I'm like, oh, it's almost here. The game's almost here. And it was getting, it's actually pretty cold outside, and I was like being in the first like couple people, first 10, 15, whatever. Some guy starts like calling his friends and says, "Yeah, man, there's room in line. There's not a lot of people here."
No.
And before I knew it, another 15 people were cutting in front of line with me. This guy had like 15 of his buddies cut in front of me. So I
followed them.
I ended up going from like 10 in line to like 30th.
Oh, that sucks.
Pissed a fucking fit.
I was pissed, but they said that the first 40 people there would get the special like pre-order poster. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll still get the poster. I'm happy about that. So we get in. I'm in line. It hits midnight. We go into the mall to the Canadian version of GameStop, which is EB Games. So we go into and we're sitting in line inside the mall, and the woman's like, you know, if you bump into any of the windows, like the store windows, or touch any of the kiosks, the alarms will go off, and we'll have to send everybody outside. And then we have to wait and like for like half an hour to get everything fixed. It's like, oh, come on. And that was like the most tense part, because there's so many people like getting so close to the glass. And there was one guy who got his game, and he was like cheering and shit, and he like literally brushed up against the glass case on a kiosk. He touched it, and everybody had like this reaction of them like leaning back, because they didn't want the alarm to go off, and the alarm didn't go off. So we finally get into the store, and I get my copy, and I was maybe 20th in line at this point. I exaggerated when I said I was like 40th, but I was about 20th in line now. And I get into the store and throw out a posters, which is weird. And the guy in front of me, I made two new friends at the midnight launch, which is awesome. But the guy in front of me was like, hey, can I get a poster? And the woman's like, yeah, sure, I'll go back. We have like boxes in the back. I'll get like another box of posters. So she went back, got a big box of posters left, pulled out like six posters, and I could see there was like a lot of posters still in there. And I walked up, I'm like, hey, can I get a poster too? I pre-ordered. And she's like, no, we don't have any left. But I looked over, and there's a box full of posters, and I'm like, what the hell? There's like so many posters over there. It's like, yeah, you only get it for pre-ordering. I'm like, I pre-ordered. And she's like, well, I can't give you any. And I'm like, what the hell? So I left, and the people behind me got posters.
No.
She just didn't like you, dude.
So I didn't get a poster. I was like, yeah, whatever.
Probably would have drop kicked her right over the counter.
So I was mad, but I still got my pre-order bonus, which I think everybody got anyway, which is the blimp.
I got that from Target. What the hell?
I think everybody got the blimp anyway at this point. But yeah, that was my midnight release story. I got home, and I walked the hour it takes me to get home from the mall at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I was kind of nervous, because I'm not a city person. I was nervous I was going to get stabbed for a copy of GTA.
And you jumped.
And then, yes. And then the next day in the news, somebody did get stabbed for a copy of GTA.
Oh, wow.
But,
That's that bullet.
But, so let's talk about the game. So it's a...
Sure. It's fantastic. It's the best GTA yet, for sure. Like, hands down, you can't argue that.
No.
Or you can, but, like, I'd totally go on the defense of the game.
Chinatown Wars was way better. I
don't know. I see. I'm not gonna lie.
City was pretty good, though.
For the time, yeah, but, like, in comparison, this game's scope is so... amazing.
But the problem I have with Grand Theft, though, is... not the world, but it's the people in the world. They're all really kind of generic for the Grand Theft Auto universe. It's like, alright, I've got the streetwise ethnic, as usual. I've got the sort of ex-criminal who, you know, doesn't really want to get into it, but kind of has to for money issues, and then I've got the psycho. Thank you for giving us new batch characters.
Oh yeah, but at the same time, you have them all at once.
Yeah.
I know, but it would be nice to have someone a little new.
I do. I really enjoyed, Franklin's friend Lamar. He had me laughing on the fucking floor about 35
really?
Times. And I'm about 20% into the game.
He's
hilarious.
I feel like I'm the only person who cannot stand Lamar.
I mean, I'm from an area where there is a lot of, I guess, people like that. There's a lot of hoods. So I know people who are exactly like that, who act exactly on point just like that. So seeing that in a video game is like,
yeah,
no way.
Well, they... from what I was reading, not for Franklin, because Franklin is an actual actor dude, because I look on his IMDb profile, and there was, like, Grand Theft Auto 5 and a couple, like, very obscure stuff, but But I guess they actually hired actual gang members to voice gang dialogue.
Oh, nice.
So
yeah, I heard the same thing, that some of the guys are from, like, it actually just getting out of jail or something.
Yeah, so if you want to be authentic, that's the way to go. So the game is Grand Theft Auto V. And it stars three characters. We have Trevor Phillips, who is the psychotic Canadian, which is totally
Lynch.
Whatever. Lynch. There's Michael De Santa.
Yeah, Kane.
And he's like the retired criminal kind of thing. And then there's Franklin Clinton, who is the African American gang banger guy trying to be like, oh, whatever, I'm cool.
Be super fly.
Yeah, and
he's just trying to escape the thug life.
and the interactions between the characters is interesting. There's a lot of tension, from what I noticed. Lots of tension between the characters, specifically Trevor and Michael.
For good reason.
Not going to spoil too much, since I finished it, but there's a lot of stuff that those two butt heads over. And I think this is the first Grand Theft Auto game where the story revolves around heists. And the main thing is you're pulling off these heists and doing crime and robbing stores, which I actually really like the heists. I thought they're...
I've done the first one, and I gotta say, that's the only heist I've done so far, but I really enjoyed the setting up, especially coming off of the heels of Payday 2, where I was like, oh, bank robbery, this is amazing.
I couldn't play Payday 2, couldn't find a copy of Payday 2 anywhere.
I really enjoyed it, and one thing is kind of off topic, but just minor spoilers, I want to say I'm probably 20-25% into the game, but when you first meet Trevor, you know, when him and Johnny have that altercation, and he actually does, spoiler alert again, kill Johnny, that I was just like, no, what? Especially because he was such a big part of the Lost and Damned DLC, to see him get killed in a matter of 3 minutes, just like, I was like, no, what, no.
Yeah, that was actually a good reference back before. I really like
that. There's been references to other characters as well.
Yeah, Peck McCreary was in there.
They've referenced... So is Packy?
Yeah, Packy.
But I haven't seen him.
I met him on a bank robbery, like a random event. You run through and you pick him and a buddy up, and you just kind of take him away.
And then there is a couple references to Nico, but it's mainly poking fun at the voice actor who played Nico. If you don't know the story, the guy who played Nico wanted some of the profits from GTA 4. They gave him a certain amount of money to do the voice acting for Nico, so he was only in there for like 3 months doing the dialogue. And then he got, I think he got like, he got a fair amount of money for doing the dialogue, and then he found out how much money GTA 4 made, and he's like, oh, I want a cut of the profits. But they didn't do it. And then he kept harassing or whatever, so they made a joke about it in GTA 5. I can't remember whereabouts, so I don't know if I hope I'm not spoiling anything, because that would really suck. But it's just like a little reference, it's not like a huge thing. Like I said, the game came out 10 days ago, last Tuesday, and I've been playing a lot of it. I finished the main story yesterday, and I was actually very, very pleased with the story. Good story, I actually really liked it, the game definitely does have some issues with it, like, for sure. I feel like they chopped, like, there's elements in the game that I feel like they cut out, and then you can only access these chunks that could be fun in the actual game, but you have to have an iPhone to get this iPhone.
Oh, that app is ass. I'll tell you right now, it's clunky, it takes up so much space on your phone. The whole, whatever the dog's name is.
Chop.
It's this, like, child, like, it's this, just poke. You poke the screen and play with the dog. And the customizing cars is dumb, too. It's a total waste of space. And then there, when it first came out, there was login problems. I think it was rated about a 1 or 2 star on the App Store for iOS when it first came out, because people couldn't even log into it.
Well, that's because so many people were trying to access it day one.
Yeah.
Same with the social club in like in the actual game, the social yeah. club aspect, that wouldn't work because there's millions upon millions of people yeah. can access it. But yeah, from what I've heard, the app, the iFruit app, is just ass, and I haven't used it myself because I got rid of my, I had an iPod Touch, which could, it could have used the app, I imagine, but I got rid of it because I just like whatever. Yeah. And I have, I don't, I just have a normal everyday cell phone. I don't have like a high-end smartphone. I'm gonna get one eventually. I'm just, it just doesn't really, it just not a big deal for me. Yeah. But I definitely feel like some of the stuff in the app could have been in the game from what I've been reading, because you know the training the dog stuff that could have worked in the
app. Oh, that should have been in the game, no question.
And then the license plate stuff that should have, that could have been in the customizing with the cars yeah. that you do in game.
That could have taken easily 3 seconds
done it to do the license plate. But from what I've seen, the license plate stuff is weird because you can't customize your license plate to make it profane. But it's yeah. GTA, which is ironic. You think you'd be able to have like a license plate that says anal bike or something, but you can't because anal is considered offensive. But yeah, there's some stuff that doesn't feel too good in the game. There's no more annoying people calling you every 5 minutes.
That's nice. I do like that.
Let's go bowling. None of that, so that's good. And at points, I think my only complaint right now with the game is there's just too much to do. It's like I'm overwhelmed with things to do. Because I'm trying to get all the achievements that I can at this yeah. point. Because multiplayer launches on Tuesday, which is only yeah. 4 days away for me. Tuesday multiplayer launches, which I will be playing.
Oh, it's gonna be a blast. Hopefully, I would think it's gonna be done right. But
yeah, I'm highly anticipating that. I think it's gonna be really good.
From what they've like said, there's a lot of stuff that they're saying that could be done. Everything that's in single player, you can do in multiplayer. You know, you can rob stores with your buddies. And a thing I saw that was cool about the robbing of like stores and that is, you can yell into your microphone, if you're not in a party chat, of course. You can yell into your microphone.
Yeah.
And that'll, like, it'll, like, it's, like, threatening the shopkeeper, and they'll, like, oh, and they'll hurry up, and they'll give you money faster. You can scare them by yelling into your mic, which is cool. But not for people people aren't really going to be using that if they live in an apartment or in a dorm room, and it's late at night, and they're playing, and they're, like, fuck you, give me all your fucking money, and just yell really loud, you're gonna wake people up. So a lot of people might not use it, and a lot of people do use party chats now, so.
I'm in a dorm right now, and fuck yeah, I'll use that. So yeah, my roommates will get a kick out of it.
Yeah, where I go, if I was living in the dorms, I'd be yelling too.
And, I don't think a lot of people are gonna use that feature, sadly. Mainly because most people, when they play, they do play in party chat.
You know what made me giddy? And I know this is so dumb and it's so stupid, but one thing that and you could ask my roommates too, I was smiling, laughing. The first mission that you actually fly a plane, that just made me so happy.
Oh.
And I don't know why, but it was a little propeller plane, and I was just flying over mountains, and I was just like, yay!
I don't think I've ever enjoyed flying in any GTA game, because it's always felt like it's been like just hard to do. GTA 4, I could handle flying the helicopters pretty well.
Yeah.
I feel like in GTA 5, the flying is ridiculously difficult.
The helicopters are a lot harder, but I gave it some practice when it came to the planes, and it got easier.
A lot of people say go to flight school
first
before doing any of the flying-based stuff, because it helps, and I didn't. And I'm trying to do these missions for Trevor where you have to, like, smuggle weapons, or you have to drop weapons off at certain points. And that's incredibly difficult when you're flying the plane, because you have to land it. And I can fly planes perfectly fine. I'm good at flying planes. It's the landing that I suck at.
Yeah, you come in really hot.
I can't land at all. But multiplayer, like I said, comes out next week. Is everybody here going to try out the multiplayer?
For sure.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I haven't finished the main game, so...
Yeah, I still have to knock out the full...
That's what I'm doing right after this, actually. I'm working my way for it.
See you guys.
I'm gonna get some more achievements. That's what I'm gonna do.
You know, about that, like, one of the things to get is 100%ing the game, and that's by completing all the missions properly. And that's something that pisses me off so much. Yeah, it's hard, but you don't know what you have to do in a mission to 100% until after you do it.
Actually, I think it is to 100% the game. You have to do every single thing in the game, but to get there's an achievement for 100%ing, which is to do every single thing in the game, and then there's the achievement for getting 70 gold medals and missions and everything else. So I think that's what it's talking about.
That's what I was referring to. It's the gold star.
It's good though because you don't have to play every single. I don't think you have to play every single single player mission and get gold in it to get that achievement. Because there's a lot of like mini little missions that they're in there.
It still pisses me off that you don't know what you have to do until you've done it.
It would be nice to at least.
I think, here's the thing though. I think the reason they did that though is so people play through it the correct way. First, I'm trying to like word this.
They want you to have fun the first time.
Yeah, they want you to have fun the first time. So if you go through doing what you need to do, like it pops up saying, "Oh, do this to get gold." People are gonna do that. If you're like me and you have OCD about achievements, like, "Oh, I gotta get this perfect because I want an achievement." People are gonna do that first, and they're not gonna have fun with it. So if you don't tell them what to do to get gold first, they play the mission their own way at their leisure. And then at the end it pops up saying, "Oh, you could have gotten gold if you did this." And people are going to be like, "Well, I want gold," so they go back and do it. Replay value. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Well, a lot of people don't. And I've gotten gold on barely any missions.
Yep, I'm trying that.
I get silver and bronze a lot. But I think we're missing the clear problem with this game. And, you know, guys, there's just no female protagonist. And I just think in this day and age, it's just disgusting. And if you enjoy this game, you are a clear misogynist. You don't deserve to enjoy this game.
No?
No.
You're right. I should just stop playing games.
It's funny. There's people who are saying that, and it's, I'm not gonna say any names about who's saying it, but I notice a lot of people on Twitter who are mainly female people in the industry for reviews and that in the press are the main ones that are complaining about it. I have a lot of female friends my age. They're extremely mature, and they all play GTA 5. Well, not all of them, but some of them do, and they're like, "I don't see the problem. I'm fine. Exactly. I'm fine playing as a male character. In the multiplayer, I'll be able to play as a female, I'm not complaining." I don't see. And then my female friends, we had to talk about this, and they're like, "I don't see any issues with it. I don't know how it's being considered as." I can't pronounce that word. I'm not even gonna try it.
Misogynistic.
Yeah, misogynistic. They're like, "I don't see how it is." You know, there's women in there that are, there's normal women walking the streets. Normal women that there aren't hookers and strippers and bimbos. Normal women walking the streets. And Michael's wife is a normal woman. She seems normal to me.
I see Michael's family as less of, you know, this is what Rockstar sees women as.
Yeah.
And less of that and more of, you know, they're almost poking fun and giving a commentary of what rich people do. And, you know, the daughters are always whores, like the Kardashians. Yeah. And, you know, the women are always, you know, having affairs, cheating. They're sneaky behind their husband's back. You know, I just feel like this is more of a social commentary than it is, you know, this is what we believe.
And I
think the main thing I've always had is Grand Theft Auto, like it or not, is essentially trying to be a game of a crime movie. And how many crime movies, you know, like Scarface, Bullet, how many of them films have female protagonists?
None.
So when a game is trying to take inspiration from them, if they add something that isn't in the inspiration to begin with...
It totally gets rid of the...
It loses... It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And it's bad because you can't express your opinion about this issue on the internet without getting flack.
Oh, that's for sure.
The thing I've been counter-arguing this is, a lot of people have been complaining females get a rough ride in all games. And then, when I've said to these people, "You haven't said shit all about the female fighters being included in the new UFC game," and they're like, "Oh, I did not know that. Do some research before we start shouting them out."
And how they always say that women are portrayed as weak in video games.
Play Uncharted. There's like plenty of powerful, independent women.
Ellie in Last of Us, from what I've heard.
Tomb Raider.
Lara Croft, exactly.
See, with the Tomb Raider one, the newest one, like, I really did not like Lara Croft in that. I just found her to be really repetitive and kind of dull. It was, like, just going through the motions, which is why I've always said, don't force a female character into a game without writing it well, because I just thought the whole Lara Croft thing in the Tomb Raider was just boring, two-dimensional, and flat, and forced.
But I think we should move away from this soon, because probably a lot of people get bored by this kind of stuff. They don't care about it. But speaking of strong female characters, I think I'll just say one more. I always found Anya Stroud from Gears of War to be a strong character, to be a good character. I know Gears of War isn't exactly the best story of games or the best model of games, but they're good games. I've always enjoyed the Gears of War series. I just found Anya Stroud to be a good female character, and same with Alex in
Edge.
And you know, just take some criticism. It's not like there's fucking serious about it. Yeah. And it's not like it's a one-way street. We make plenty fun of guys in these games, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just relax. It's a fucking game.
And it's just an issue that I think the press needs to get everything out of... They just need to get the fucking whatever's up their ass about this thing and just...
Well, it's
look
easy
at
traffic.
It.
That's what it is. It's easy traffic to their sites.
Yeah.
And it's full revenue and all that. I mean, it's smart, almost.
Like, I'm seeing females... Like, there's one female in particular on Twitter who just tweets this stuff all the time. And she said that, I really like GTA 5 and how it looks. I really want to play it, but I'm not going to because of the way they portray females. It's like, you can't say it looks like it's going to be it's an amazing game. You really want to play it, but you're not going to because they poke fun at girls.
Yeah.
They also poke fun at males in video games.
A lot.
All
check
time.
Out a website called Gamer Bliss. That is like the height of hypocrisy. They're like, oh, treat females with respect. And then they run a Girl Gamer of the Month thing.
Yeah.
They're the sexiest girls in video games. The sexiest girls in the video game industry. And then the next article, like, yeah, you can't objectify women, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You so compete. It's no opinions that conflict ours.
So I think we should move away from that. A lot of people...
Oh, let me... I'll take this Are we doing the segue? Because if so, I got you.
Yeah, sure, why not?
You know, with all this talk of female characters in the lead, you know what game does have female characters as a lead? Pokemon XY. Bow. Perfect segue. Watch out.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Watch it.
So, there's been a lot of
bonus to come out.
There's
Pokemon.
Been a, yeah, it's like a month away. Right?
Less
than a month away. Yeah. Holy shit. I was thinking about pre-ordering a... I was thinking about pre-ordering a Nintendo 2DS today with...
It's a good idea. Let's
with,
be honest,
it is,
market, it's a great idea.
Who uses who uses the 3D on the 3DS?
Only when I'm watching the cutscenes in Fire Emblem Awakening. That's it.
Because, every time I play a 3DS, I just borrow my sister's and play Ocarina of Time. I never use a 3D. Always turned it off. Because I can't do 3D, it gives me a headache. But we're not talking about 3D, we're talking about Pokemon. Pokemans.
Man.
So Pokemon X and Y, the two latest iterations of Pokemon that are coming out next month. Less than a month, whatever. October. And they are the first games in the main Pokemon series that are going to be 3D and not top-down. And I am extremely excited for them. And I don't have a 3DS, which really bums me out, so I can't play them. So everybody's going to be tweeting about it, and, oh, this game is so good. And I'm just going to have to be like, yeah, probably. So they've revealed a lot of cool stuff about it. Character customization is a given. I saw a video today that was released on the 19th of September that you can customize your character's clothes.
Yep.
I like that you can customize the skin color, too. I mean, in this day and age, you should really do it.
So that's awesome. I was kind of hoping that they do what they did with Animal Crossing, where you could, like, draw your own clothing designs. That might be a thing. If it is,
well,
that's cool.
There would be naked people, though.
So there'd be a lot of dicks, and, yeah. But I think they'd find a way to, you know, not let you do that. I don't know how they would. Unless when you, like, design a clothing, it has to go through, like, certification. Because Nintendo is really strict with that kind of stuff, apparently.
Especially when it gets shared.
But it looks awesome, and I think the thing that's really cool is you can also get one of the three original 150 Pokemon starters.
Mega that's... Blastoise, Mega Charizard, Mega Venusaur. Yes, please.
So what do you guys think about the Mega Evolutions? That kind of thing.
I don't like it. I don't like the temporary evolution thing.
It's like, yeah, I don't like that it's temporary.
But it's like Digimon. Sure. It's like Digimon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 100% like Digimon.
Yeah. I don't like Digimon. I'll put that. I used to when I was a little kid, but...
Devilmon was cool.
Digimon used to be really good. Like, the first two seasons of Digimon were good.
I'll agree with that, but I don't like it mixing in with Pokemon.
No, I don't. I was kind of hoping, I mean, when it was first announced, when I want to say it was Lucario, Blaziken, and somebody else.
I thought it was Mewtwo that was first.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but, I mean, those Pokemon were already OP to begin with, so I don't know really why they went with them.
Same with Mewtwo. Out of all the legendaries in Pokemon games, Mewtwo is the strongest, from what I remember. He's the strongest legendary of all time. If I'm sure.
No, that got bunked like a couple of generations.
I was 100% that he's still the strongest right now, though.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
I think he's
the most versatile still.
I know I'll be going towards Mewtwo because Mewtwo is badass. So
yeah, I don't know that I'll even be transforming him. I'll probably just keep him as normal Mewtwo.
So everybody's kind of on the Mega Evolutions.
I have Pokemon at the minute.
I'm the same way. I think it's I'll play it, but like I used to be really into IV and EV breeding and stuff metagame. I'm just gonna play through it once and probably call it a day.
What I'm gonna do is what I did with the last Pokemon games I played. The last Pokemon games I played were Pearl and Diamond. So I never played Heart Gold, Soul Silver, I never played Black and White, I never played Black and White 2. Because, they didn't interest me, and I can't even fucking name half the Pokemon now.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver are best ones out there.
So I'm waiting till X and Y because it's something new to the franchise and something that the games desperately need. I'm excited for them.
There's no doubt that they're going to be like the same traditional good time.
Pokemons.
And Nintendo is going to slide down their big old pile of money after this in the 2DS sales.
Yep.
They're going to be like Scrooge Duck and just...
Still, if 3DS comes along, the Wii U comes along, it's like, well, forgot about us, profits back, please.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I still love my Wii U.
Have you played Wonderful 101?
Not yet. I mean, like I said, I just came off like a 2-month gap where I wasn't buying anything, so kind of trying to catch up on stuff.
It'll drop in price soon anyway, though. It's Platinum, they always do.
Is that the game that's made by the people who did Beautiful Joe?
It looks like Pikmin.
It's alright. The guy who made Beautiful Joe is, what's his name, Hideki Kamiya. He did Bayonetta as well. And then it's Platinum Games, who you know for Bayonetta, Vanquish, and Metal Gear Rising.
I like Vanquish.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Vanquish is the best.
I still need to play Bayonetta, and I still need to play Metal Gear Rising.
They're hard, but very good.
So, Pokemans, what's the verdict? Everybody going to get it?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm buying it.
No, I don't have a 3DS. I don't have a 3DS, so I can't get it.
2 versus 2.
So if anybody out there has a spare 3DS they can mail me, that would be awesome.
My address is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Pokemon Origins.
So I think the last little amount of what the fuck? my drunk neighbor's yelling outside.
I'll bar.
For the last little bit, we should just talk about games we've been playing for like a little steamroll. So, Sean, what have you been playing? Nothing?
Bit of League of Legends.
Gross.
I know. It's just with them games, like, I can sit down, it's like, I'll spend 4 minutes on this, then get angry, and I'll play it again.
Spend 4 minutes?
More
like 45 minutes per match.
What? It depends. I paid Payday 2 when that came out for like quite a bit. Magic Gathering 2014, because... Mm-hmm. I used to play that when I was in school. Not obviously 2014, I wasn't a time traveler, but I played Magic Gathering. So, for some reason, the PR are, like, super friendly for this game. They sent me the code for the first one, and then they're just, like, lumpy with card games, which, you know, it's cool, but they have to appreciate that I can't review, like, 7 games at once. But, you know, Magic Gathering, it's still tip-top. What else have I been playing? There's something else I really can't remember, and I really enjoyed it.
That sucks.
It would cut me head.
Absolutely didn't enjoy it that much.
Shit, what was it?
Foul Play.
I can't remember what it was now. Fuck.
Blacklist.
No, I wasn't Blacklist. I'm done with Splinter Cell. I don't understand how Sam Fisher gets, like, younger looking as the games continue.
I don't get how so many people buy it.
I played Blacklist, and I want to talk about it, because it's actually really good.
It's went super cheap already. It's on sale on Steam for £20 now.
Is it really?
It's really good, though.
Yeah.
It's really good.
$22.49. Today's deal.
Oh, snap.
It's really good.
What
buy it.
I can't remember what it is.
GTA 5.
No, it wasn't GTA. Well, I did play GTA 5, but, I mean, I'll quickly list off the problems that I have with that, then. Since I didn't shout out before. I don't like the characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not key. I think the music choice in this Grand Theft Auto is dire compared to the rest.
It's bad.
And one of the things I got a big problem with, if they just ripped off Saints Row so I could use like my own music or make a mixtape music
that's awesome.
That'd be awesome, but no. But
I turn the radio off when I drive.
Grand Theft Auto 5, like, once I played Sleeping Dogs, that game had a really good story, with really good characters, really good combat, really good driving, and really nice features like jumping from car to car. So that has actually completely destroyed my Grand Theft Auto experience, because every time I play Grand Theft Auto, it's kind of clunky, and I'm kind of getting bored. It's like, with Sleeping Dogs, it felt like I was playing a John Woo film, and that was kind of cool. Grand Theft Auto, it feels like I'm playing Boardwalk Empire with not as many of the good parts in. But either way, I am enjoying Grand Theft Auto, just not as much as everyone else, and Last of Us is still miles beyond everything else. The Last of Us is easy my game of the year so far. That game for years. It's just, there's so much good about it. In a special edition, World of Warcraft just fell on my foot.
Okay,
yeah, that's about it.
What about you, Nick?
So I've been playing Grand Theft Auto. Prior to that, I was playing some The Last of Us. I was just playing online. I think it's a really fun multiplayer that I think doesn't get enough recognition. What else have I been playing? I've been playing some of my Vita. I actually really enjoy my Vita at this point. As somebody who doesn't always have time for like those full feature-length games, GTA and The Last of Us are like some of the few like big games that I've been playing recently. But I've been playing Rayman Origins, actually just came out on PlayStation Plus.
I played that on 360.
It's really good. It's taking me some time to actually get into that. I'm not the most fond of platformers, but I still think it's a good game. What else I've been playing? Actually, this is more of like something that's going on in my life. It's there's a Kickstarter going on right now. It's Hyper Light Drifter. It's this indie game. It's going to be...
Yeah, I've been seeing you posting some stuff about that.
Yeah, so that I've been talking to the guy who is the lead artist, and I guess he owns the company that's doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to become like the marketing kind of person for their company, considering they're just getting started, but... I talked to him today, and he's going to give me access to the some data that I'll be able to help him with, and that's actually something that's really big in my life. It's game-related, so it's the industry that I want to be in, and I might actually get my chance this early in my career. So
do it up.
That's it.
Congrats. The game industry is extremely fun and rewarding to do stuff in. I'm not trying to like deter you or anything, but it's also extremely difficult.
Oh yeah, I have no doubt.
And I hate plugging my own thing, because it makes me feel like a jackass. But for people who don't know, and I know a lot of people who are part of my channel, this is probably going up on the YouTube channel because that's the easiest way for it to get out there nowadays. Because I can't upload it to Libsyn because I cost money and I don't have much money to spend on this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My game's been greenlit, and it's on Steam now. There's a store page for it, but you can't download it yet, though, because it's not released, but we do have a store page up for it.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
Dudes.
It's what?
Grats, dudes.
It's called Faceless. You just put that in, and you go check it out.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that the,
Slenderman?
Kind of. Slenderman. Yeah, but we changed the name of it.
Man Slenderman.
to the being. Anyway.
That's fantastic, dude. Congratulations. Yeah,
that's awesome. Congrats. Thank you. Also, hey, we're talking about what we were playing, and I guess John remembered what he was playing. What was the game you remembered?
Two games. Dragon Commander. That shit, right? It's like, forget the RTS part.
I think I saw
sucks.
Something about it.
Yeah. But the politics part is really good. It's so good. It's like, when you get choices in games, often like, oh, well, do you want to be nice or do you want to be a bastard? And that's about it. But in this, it's like the choices are so deep and on so many different levels. They affect different parts of the map, which sort of impact your ability to fight, you know, this war. And some of the choices really do reflect modern politics. Like, there's a big part about legalizing gay marriage. And it's like, you sit in there like, how is this game not getting as much popularity as it is? It's insanely deep when it comes to politics. Yeah. It's so much fun. And the other game is Rise of the Triad. That was the last game I really got into before I had my break. And that shit is insanely fun. The soundtrack's brilliant. It's just the balls to the wall, old school shooter. The PR department behind it were really good. The guys on the team are really good. They're all very nice. And it's one of them games that I really wish people would support because it's insanely fun.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff about it.
Nothing bad about it.
I played that at PAX last year, PAX East. It was pretty fun.
It's so much fun. There's a power-up where you're a dog and you can just... Oh, you're sitting there laughing away. It's just a beautiful game experience. They're two games that I would wholeheartedly recommend people check them out. They're not the biggest releases. They're not even that expensive, but they're totally worth checking out.
Very nice. What about you, Rich?
I'll be honest. The Rich of about a year ago would be pretty disappointed in what I'm playing a lot, besides GTA right now. And it kind of pains me to say this, but I've been playing a lot of Madden 25 as of late. But, I mean, they did everything that I wanted them to do. It almost feels like a different game. It's so improved. And I've been playing an Ultimate Team, which is kind of like a...
FIFA it's almost, Ultimate
Team. Yeah, exactly. It's almost like a card-based game, and you get cards of guys, and you get them for a duration of games. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, they're about 20-minute, 25-minute games, so it's really fast. And, it's a blast to play.
Ultimate Team is super addictive. Like, I'm not sure if, like, collecting stickers was big in America, but, like, in England, you used to get, like, football stickers. You collect, like, the stickers of the various teams, various players, and Ultimate Team makes you that little 10-year-old again.
Yeah.
And you just buy these packs. It's brilliant. As much as I don't like FIFA 14, but Ultimate Team's still addictive as hell.
Yeah, it really is.
Alrighty. So I guess I'll just top in what I've been playing real quick. There was a little mention of Splinter Cell Blacklist earlier on, and I've been playing that. Ubisoft sent me a copy. So I was like, I'll review it, and I'll play it. So I'm going to talk about it right now. Because they said to link them the video on the YouTube channel, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to link them this, so they have to sit through like an hour-long video, or they can just skip to it.
Timestamps, baby.
That's what I'm going to do. So Splinter Cell Blacklist, you know, you're Sam Fisher again, and this game is hard as balls. It's stealthy, so, you know, it's what you'd expect, and you can customize your loadout before every mission. You can, like, customize the color of your, like, lights, so you have, like, these lights, your headset you wear. With the you can get sonar vision and a bunch of different visions. They help you can see enemies, night vision, and a lot of these visions will help you get past obstacles. So the sonar helps you see mines on the ground, which are extremely helpful, because earlier in the game, I was playing with a friend. We were doing a co-op mission, and there's a part where we're like sneaking around, and my friend's like, "Okay, man, put on your sonar goggles because there's mines up ahead." I'm like, "I don't have sonar goggles. I didn't buy them." And as soon as he finished saying that, I stepped on a mine and it blew up and we both died. And the thing about the co-op is if one player dies, there's no, like, respawn. Both people fill the mission, which makes it difficult. So only play the co-op if you have a friend to play with, because playing it with a random sucks ass.
And now, is it You said it was hard. Is it frustrating hard? Like, oh, what the fuck?
No, it's...
Or is it, oh, I fucked up?
It's more like, I fucked up hard.
Okay, cool.
Like, it's like, oh man, I messed up. I'm gonna try it again and do like a different approach to it. And there's some missions where you have to play the mission without getting detected.
Ooh.
Which is hard. But if you know, you eventually, like, I'm not good at stealth games. It's not my kind of thing. I usually shy away from stealth games. I don't stay interested for too long.
Right.
And for these, it actually feels really good to play. Like, the stealth and the movements and the combat is, like, incredibly fluid and smooth, and it just feels good to execute. So, there's, like, moments where I'll be, like, crouching, and then I'll, like, do, like, kind of, like, a roadie run from Gears of War kind of thing. That's the only way I can classify what it is, the crouch run. And I'll, like, dive into cover. And I'm playing on 360, so if you press, like, the back button on the controller, your character, like, your Sam will whistle, and it draws an enemy over. Like, they go, oh, and they come to investigate, and then you just execute them and kill them, which, it's awesome. And then you just hide the body in, like, a dumpster or something.
The good old Assassin's Creed approach.
Yeah. Then there's, like I said, there's missions where you can't get detected at all. So you can, like, knock the dudes out and kill them. You just can't get detected. So it's like Assassin's Creed. It has, like, the white little thing if you're detected, and then it goes red when you are detected. So it goes white, and then once it hits red, you've been detected. And then when that happens, you fail the mission, and you have to start over. Not all the missions are like that, thank God. But there's some missions where you can't use lethal force on anybody. So you have to either use... you have a crossbow that can shoot electric bolts, and they stun people and knock them out. Or you can use a stun gun and shoot, like, a taser. It's like a taser, and you just tase people, and they pass out. And then you have to switch your melee from lethal to non-lethal, so you put them into, like, a sleeper hold, and then you just knock them out. Like I said, the game is, like, really good to play. Customization options are insane. You can buy various guns with various attachments. You start off with weapons that aren't silenced, though, when you start off in the game, so that makes, like, everything, like, really difficult. So the first couple of missions, I just snuck around. I didn't kill anybody. I just snuck around people because I didn't want to get detected, and then I had enough money, and I bought silencers for my guns, and it was fun. And then, you know, there's the multiplayer mode, which is, like, spies versus mercenaries, and one team plays as spies, one team plays as mercenaries, and the spies have to, like, do these objectives, while the mercenaries have to kill the spies before they finish their objectives. And that mode is fun as hell, and it's probably the most fun multiplayer I've played this year, but that'll probably change next week when GTA 5's multiplayer comes out.
So is it worth the price tag? The full 60 price tag?
Yeah. You'll get a lot of play out of it. I'd only recommend it if you have people to play with. Don't get it full price if you're just going to do the single player, because it's not, single player isn't worth $60 alone. It's a good story, though. Kind of cheesy and cliched at parts, but it's a good story. It's worth the $60 if you have people to play with, and right now it's on Steam for sale, somebody mentioned earlier.
£22.49 in the UK. So it's 20 quid in, like, all the retail places as well. Like, the actual copy is £20 now. So it's, like, 50% off everywhere in the UK, but I don't know about the US.
But yes, I just checked GameStop, and it's still 60.
It's definitely, if you're going to play the online with people, if you have friends to play it with, like, if you get it, I'll play with you. And I have friends who, another friend I play with all the time, and the multiplayer mode is extremely fun, because, you know, there's the spies, and the spies don't have a lot of powerful weaponry, because they have to be nimble and move around and hide in the shadows, and they're kind of like the free-running kind of thing. They can, like, climb up, they can hide, they can dangle from the ceiling and shit. And then the mercenaries, or whatever, I can't remember what I called them. So, yeah, the mercenaries, they can't do a lot of stuff. They're guys in, like, heavy armor with, like, light machine guns and shotguns and grenades. And they deal a lot of damage to the spies. So if you, like, get in front of a spy as a mercenary and you just shoot him, he'll probably die in a couple hits. However, the spies are extremely dangerous also to the mercenaries. Because the mercenaries are slow and sluggish. Their movement isn't that fast. But the spies are nimble and quick, and they can hide and drop from the ceiling and kill you. So it's extremely tense multiplayer, but no team is overpowered, and I really like it.
That sounds interesting.
But yeah, it's a good game. So, you know, if it's cheap and you want to check it out, do it. And I do recommend it. It is good full price. You know, it's a good $60 game.
Sweet. Sweet.
And just a quick little thing. The other game I played is Rayman Origins on Xbox 360. You know, I don't have a lot to say about it because I didn't enjoy it at all.
Uh-oh.
I think it just took me... I couldn't get into it. That was my only thing.
It is very niche, to be honest.
This is because I've never played a Rayman game before, number one. Number two, I just couldn't get a feel for it, and I'm not really used to platformer games anymore. I kind of drifted away a long time ago from that genre, and I just ooh, what happened?
Dunno.
Okay, never mind. Something happened with my call. It said it dropped. I just can't get into it. I drift away from the platformer franchise a long genre, not franchise. I drifted away from the platformer genre a long time ago, and I just couldn't get back into it. I know it's got like universal acclaim, and it's an amazing game. People are saying, and I enjoyed playing it. I'll be honest, from what I did play, I enjoyed it, but I just couldn't stay hooked on it, and I put it down and haven't played it for a couple weeks now. But yeah, that's all I really had to say about it. I just couldn't get into the game, and it's a shame because I really wanted to like it because it's cute.
I enjoyed the Vita version better. I mean, I've got both versions, and I found the Vita version to be a lot better just because the screen makes it look so much nicer, and you're like, just staring at it.
Yeah, I'll probably pick it up again and try putting more time into it, but at this point, I just can't get myself interested enough to play it, especially with GTA 5 out right now. That's where most of my time's going, and, you know. And yeah, other than that, I've been playing GTA 5, which we talked about for a while, but that's basically what I've been playing. Anything else you guys want to add?
Naughty Dog, give me a PS4 Crash Bandicoot. That's what I want to add.
I'd rather have a new Spyro the Dragon.
I don't care.
I'd rather have a new Jack and Daxter.
Ooh.
Okay. Jack and Daxter. That would be good. I want a new, what game do I want? I wanted a
Resistance 4.
I can't even think of what I wanted. I had it in my head, and now I can't think about it.
Hey, what'd you say, Sean?
He said,
"I'm actually getting a PS4 because I've got my deposit down. But I'll get like 2 weeks after you. It's the 24th in Europe."
Wait, so Sean, you're going to PS4 over your Xbox?
Yeah.
Oh fuck yeah!
I mean, the problem is with the Xbox. There's nothing on there which makes me go, "Oh, I really want this." Killer Instinct. No. When they showed that trailer at E3, I jizzed all over Twitter because I like me fighters, but. When I've seen the actual footage of it, it looks shit. Like, really bad. It's like...
Pricing model is a little stupid, too.
Yeah. First they say, Kinect, you need Kinect. But now you don't need Kinect, but it's still in the package, and you can't take it out. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but that's just dumb. If I don't want Kinect, why make me pay that extra money for something I don't want? And I'm not going to use. It's going to be sitting there. And it's like, I spent 80 quid extra on this.
Dude, I swear it's like some reverse psychology too, because like the fact that PS4 doesn't have it included makes me like want it more, because I don't know, like I feel like maybe I do want their camera, but I don't want to have to buy it like Xbox is making me.
We've got a bundle in the UK that's being announced. It's the Killzone Mega Bundle, so it's two DualShock pads, the PS4, Killzone, and the eye camera, and it's not a bad price, so I'm probably just going to go with that option.
I'm pretty sure it's $4.99. When I saw that, I was like, Jesus Christ, why isn't that in America?
I'm going to get the Xbox One. That's going to be my console of next gen, mainly because I've been with Xbox for a long time.
It's a good time to transfer.
But, I just want to get the Xbox One because achievements and myself will carry over, and I don't want it to go away.
Dude, I had the same thing. I was an achievement whore for a while, and then I was like, oh wait, trophies are just as good.
Yeah, but I just like the number.
That's like the games.
I'll transfer over once a day.
Dude, the trophy system's so much better.
But I'll end up getting both anyway. I'm gonna get the Xbox One first, but I won't be getting any next gen consoles until 2014 when stuff starts coming out. That's my whole thing.
I've got a confirmed price on the bundle now. It's 420 quid, so that's for two pods.
Wow.
Well, you get an extra pod, Killzone, and the camera.
That's like the equivalent of 500, I'm pretty sure, over here.
Yeah, so that, you're getting all that for the price, like about £10 extra compared to the core Xbox One thing. And then people are like, oh, why are you getting a PS4 of the Xbox One? It's like, well, there you go. There's one example.
Yep.
Plus, I mean, just Sony, for me, at the start of the generation, I was all about 360. They had all the exclusives, and I was like, yeah, this is the good life. But later on, PS4 was just like, they had so many more games that appealed to me. Like, Sony as a company just seemed to kind of provide what I want in the shape of, like, Naughty Dog, like The Last of Us, Uncharted. They're two like game franchises that I just sort of catapulted into my top 10 of all time. I mean, I'm a huge Uncharted fanboy.
I don't care about Halo or Gears of War anymore.
I do. I still do. I still do.
I had fun with 4, but it just seems that every time a Halo game comes out, I'm like, wow, I'm so excited for it. And, you know, I get into it and I play for about 2 or 3 weeks, and it just, the multiplayer gets stale for me, and I just can never get back into it.
I put a lot of time into the Halo multiplayer, and I'm also really invested in the storyline between Halo, the universe, and I'm interested in that, and that's what's my main draw towards Halo, and that's why I get Halo still, and that's why I buy it usually day one. And I was really good, happy with Halo 4. I am going to get Halo 5, which I think they've officially announced that Halo game they showed at E3 is Halo 5, which I think everybody knew.
Yeah.
Now, I know, Nick, you were a huge Halo fan. I don't know if you still are.
Yeah, I am. I mean, but at the same time, I don't think it warrants a purchase of the system.
No, of course not. No, for my opinion, like right now, I don't think I'm not getting any console until 2014 when most of the games that I want come out. Because the launch lineup for both consoles, I think, are a little too stale for me.
Flimsy.
Don't talk about NBA 2K14, I would.
I'm going to wait till 2014 when stuff starts coming out, like The Evil Within and Titanfall.
Crash Bandicoot for the PS4, you know.
I'd that's sad to say, but I probably wouldn't do that because Crash Bandicoot hasn't been good for a long time.
Don't ruin my dreams, please.
Well, it's true.
I know it's true.
Crash Bandicoot hasn't been good since, like, PS1.
PS1, yes, I know.
But a new Harvest Moon game for consoles would be sweet. But Nintendo's got that, which sucks. Yeah, but there's a good Harvest Moon. I like the Harvest Moon game that was on PS1 and Nintendo 64. Titanfall, you know, Evil Within, Halo, The Crew looks awesome.
That really Ubisoft cool. game as well that showed E3 looked pretty nifty.
Yeah.
Divide.
I'm not into Watch Dogs anymore. But you know, I'm waiting until 2014 when everything comes out, so I think that's basically everything we can talk about today. It's been about an hour or more. Hour 22, apparently. So I think we can end it there. We had a good discussion about stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I think we could do this again next week.
For sure. We'll try.
Awesome.
We'll try.
Probably can't.
Naughty Dog, give me my Crash Bandicoot, you sons of bitches.
Yeah. Probably can't talk about... Next week we can talk about the GTA 5 multiplayer.
That's true. Whatever next podcast is. No promises on next week.
Yeah.
All right, and I might get Wind Waker HD, so maybe I can...
Oh, dude, I'd love to hear about that. Like one of the, it's pushing me on the edge of buying a Wii U.
I think the only person I know on Twitter, all my followers, has a Wii U. So, why are you going to Wii U? It sucks. It's like, shut up, I've got Zombie U and Monster Hunter, and now I'm going to have another remake. So,
Yeah, Wind Waker was such a good game. But
I get selfies on it now.
Yeah, which I've seen some pretty disturbing ones. That's the Pixelgate podcast. I think that's what we're naming it. Sure. I'd like to thank Sean for joining me.
Thank you to me and to you and to him. not Cliffy B.
Yeah, he's been weird. I'd like to thank Rich.
Crash Bandicoot 2016, baby.
Probably wouldn't be a good game. I'd like to thank Nick for joining me.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
And thanks for listening, and thanks to everybody who is actually listening and who is taking the time out of their busy schedules to listen to people talk about video games.
We love you.
Bye, Mom.